May the words that are spoken and the words that are heard give you honor and glory, O Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to take about the 10 or 15 first minutes of this homily and explain to you real good about Maundy Thursday. You've been spared that because if you look at the front cover of your bulletin on the right-hand side, it will give you something to do if the words I say don't spark an interest in you this evening. But I'm watching you. So there goes half my sermon this morning.
Sorry.
This afternoon? Yeah, it's all right. So what does communion, the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, have to do with Maundy Thursday? And of course, the short answer is everything. Often during the Eucharist, especially in more evangelical churches, a pastor will read the passage from 1 Corinthians 11, 23-26. But every time that you and I participate in the Holy Eucharist communion, we recognize what happened during the events of Maundy Thursday, that our Lord Jesus was betrayed to be tried and crucified the next day on Good Friday. I haven't seen one lately, but many shopping malls have a store called Things Remembered, which offers items that can be engraved, at I'm sure no small price, to commemorate special occasions. And many people have engraved items in honor of special days or shared moments. If you receive such a gift, you know what a treasure it can be. People like to remember happy times and significant events. Memories are precious. They keep us connected to people, places, and events that have shaped us and hopefully influenced our lives in a positive way. We may wish that we could forget some things, but even life's unpleasantries can offer lasting lessons learned through adversity. At the Last Supper, Jesus shared a meal with his disciples and then led them into the ancient observance of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, or Passover. And actually, the last day of Passover is the 20th of April. Jesus, the master teacher, uses this opportunity to plant an important memory in his disciples gathered in that upper room. Jesus shared this meal for their benefit and for ours. As Jesus raised the bread and the cup in thanksgiving, he added new significance to that ancient ritual. And our gospel lesson this morning, or this evening, I don't know what time it is, Jesus told his disciples to observe the Passover in remembrance of me. Now, you've heard me say this before. You all know what amnesia is. People can't remember things. The word for remembrance is amnesis, but it's more than just, I remember that. It's this, if you are actually there, almost participating. So it's more than just a cognitive, a mind remembrance. It's like you're participating in what we call the Eucharist, which is another fancy word, which means thanksgiving. Jesus, the master teacher, used this opportunity to plant an important memory in his disciples gathered in that upper room. Jesus shared this meal for their benefit and also for ours. As Jesus raised the bread and the cup in thanksgiving, he added a new significance to the ancient ritual. As we said, Luke tonight, gospel records that. Jesus took an old symbol and filled it with new meaning. The meaning of Jesus' words and actions is rooted in his command to remember. As today's disciples, we observe our Lord's Supper in remembrance of Christ. Some congregations refer to this ordinance as the Memorial Supper, to highlight the significance of Christ's atoning work on the cross and to call believers to remember his sacrificial death. Others call it communion, to highlight the believer's intimacy with Christ. We call it the Eucharist. Whatever it's called, this observance, the observance is clear for one thing. It's a time to remember. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread is a historical background for the establishment of the Lord's Supper. And Exodus 12 presents the final chapter in God's miraculous rescue of Israel from slavery in Egypt, the plague of judgment of the firstborn, for the angel of death to pass over a household. A family had to put blood from a sacrificial lamb on the door frame of their house and eat the Passover meal as the Lord had prescribed. The lamb and the meal of unleavened bread became the abiding symbol of Israel's deliverance from bondage. As Jesus' disciples watched Jesus and listened to his words, this particular Passover, they would have understood the historical significance of his actions. What they did not fully understand until after his crucifixion and resurrection was a transformation of what had been a Jewish feast of remembrance into a new symbol for remembering Jesus' atoning sacrifice. The God who acted in history to deliver his people, Israel, had also acted in history to deliver us. The elements used in that first supper are not the real body and blood of Jesus, but are powerful symbols that cause us to remember that Jesus really did suffer and die in a real historical time and place. What Jesus did centuries ago impacts our life today and our eternity as well. Hopefully remember that the Lord's Supper redemptive significance. When John the Baptist saw Jesus approaching, he cried out, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John clearly established the reason for Jesus' coming as a fulfillment of what the Passover lamb had only foreshadowed in Exodus 12. The lamb was sacrificed for the deliverance of one family at the cross. The Lamb of God was sacrificed to deliver the whole world from the power and penalty of sin. The Passover lamb served as a substitute for the firstborn of Israel, but Jesus was our substitute at Calvary. Without the death of the lamb and the spreading of its blood, the children of Israel would have suffered the judgment of God. Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus, his death would have no hope of salvation. So the Lord's Supper presents the powerful message of the gospel. What a perfect time to give people an opportunity to receive the salvation purchased at the cross. Those who respond will remember that the symbols of the Lord's table spoke to them of their need and of Christ's provision. We need to remember the supper's personal significance. In our gospel lesson this evening, Jesus' words are, "This is my body, which is given for you. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And Jesus personalized his statement by using the pronoun you. Jesus told his disciples that he was going to suffer for them. He was going to die for them. And true, Jesus would die for everyone, for the sins of the whole world. But his disciples heard Jesus say, "I am doing this for you." If you are in me, you receive more. If you're like me, you receive more junk mail than any other kind of mail. It's amazing. Got some today. You know the kind of mail I'm talking about? You laugh, so obviously you get more than a piece a day. It's addressed to occupant or resident. In my case, it's called Milton Roberts, whoever he is. And the envelope, and if the envelope does have your name, it usually is a computer-generated label that may or may not have your name spelled correctly. In short, it's not personal. If, however, you get a piece of mail, as we did, I think, yesterday, from a member of this congregation as an Easter card, with your name handwritten or typed, or you recognize the return address, then you know that someone has written to you personally. And people, I usually do open the first thing because I'm just dying of curiosity. And it's almost always a source of pleasure. Personal mail shows that someone has taken time to communicate with you. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul gives instructions concerning the Lord's Supper, and in doing so reminds the Corinthian Christians of two things: their personal salvation in Christ, and that participation in the supper carries inward and outward aspects. Inwardly, participants examine themselves spiritually before taking the supper. Outwardly, participants proclaim to the supper the Lord's death until he returns again. Observing the Eucharist carries personal significance because Jesus calls us to remember that he gave his body for us. It also carries personal responsibilities for us to participate with reverence, humility, and sincerity, understanding and proclaiming Christ's great act of love. Paul said that our observance of the Lord's Supper is to be done to help us remember Christ. Perhaps we're never more the church than the bride of Christ, that we together, as we will tonight at the table, to worship by remembering him. My brothers and sisters, may we never forget. Amen.
Amen. Amen.